Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And let me read verse 10 for you this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The topic, the issue for today is persecution. In today's society, I would ask the question, do we really understand what's happening here? Is this scripture speaking to us in the realm of persecution? I think today we kind of like to use words like bullying or harassing, those kinds of words. We've spread it out over many different areas, different topics. But I have also been troubled in my own mind. Have we become so tolerant and accepting of anything and everything that comes along that, well, we work really hard on avoiding persecution or avoiding any conflict. We're great negotiators. We're great compromisers. And so, I studied this passage and looked at it and re-looked at it, persecution. Do we really understand what Jesus is telling His disciples and He's telling us today? Are we so comfortable at being neutral on so many issues that to be persecuted for any reason would be really rare? I haven't confronted anybody on anything. Nobody has any reason to persecute me. I like it that way. Let's just keep it that way. Well, verses 10 and 11, are they so far removed from us that it isn't even relevant for us today? Let me just read verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. That's Jesus speaking. Verse 12, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Well, I'm going to give you two reasons right up front why I believe that this scripture that Jesus is teaching is relevant for us today. Well, number one, it's scripture. Right? It's Scripture. And there isn't any passage of Scripture that's outdated. It's there. Well, in the world that we live in, persecution, targeted persecution against Christians, it's happening. It's happening. There's a map on the screen. Just look at this. This was published in a Christianity Today magazine that comes from an organization called Open Doors. And this is the world. It took me a while to figure out that the United States and South America, they're here. I was looking at this at first just as Africa and the European continent. But look at that. That's persecution around the world. This organization reports that 215 million Christians experience high or very high or extreme persecution. 215 million Christians. We're not just talking 215 million people. This is 215 million Christians around the world experience high, very high, or extreme persecution. Anybody here in that category? Okay, we're not, are we? North Korea is number one. And any Islamic country. Any Islamic country. 35 out of the 50 on that list, and over on the side there's the 50. 35 of those are Islamic states. Persecution is happening for religious reasons everywhere, every day, around the world. This summer, there was a pastor from India came and spoke at our Tuesday noon prayer time. And he told us that in India, now India is, you know where India is, right there. That's very high persecution. Well, I would say that if they did this report today, they would move that to the extreme because the government of India, which is Hindu, They have made it their proclamation to annihilate, that's a big word, but that's the word, annihilate any religion that isn't Hindu. And we know that in the Church of the Nazarene because we have a lot of missionaries and churches in India. And I believe it was last November, on a Sunday morning, four pastors were killed, churches were burned, and homes of the people attending those churches were burned. So, persecution is real. It's happening in the world that we live in. And yes, we are very blessed that it's not happening to that extreme right here in the United States. But we must be on guard. The number two reason that I believe that persecution is something that we need to pay attention to, that really speaks to us, is that sinful mankind does not like the new creation that happens in Christians. When we pay attention to what Jesus teaches on how we should live, we are going to rub the sinful world the wrong way. They're just not going to, they're not going to like it. And I'm going to give you some of those reasons here in a minute. But it doesn't fit. Paul, in his second letter to his friend Timothy, said, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." So I ask you a question, is that you? I ask myself that question, is it me? Paul is convinced, I believe Jesus is convinced, his disciples, by the time they got to the end of their lives, they were all convinced that there is tension between the life of a Christ follower and that of a person living for self, a sinful life, contrary to the teachings of Scripture. The life of a Christian and the life of a sinful, worldly, self-centered person, they don't meet. They don't match up. There is conflict. There will be conflict. And conflict leads to persecution. Well, why are we, will we be blessed? The blessing will come for those of us who are striving to live a righteous life. The Beatitudes are very specific. Jesus is talking about the blessings, very specific things happen, very specific blessings happen, and this is just one of those. Living a righteous life. If you've been here over the last five Sundays about, you'll remember that I've talked about the structure of the Beatitudes. There are two groups of four, and each group ends with a reference of living a righteous life, verse 6 and verse 10. And verse 11 points to Jesus Christ. We live a righteous life, we are persecuted for His sake, not our own. Living a righteous life. You've heard me say, and I'm going to apologize for making this statement so many times in very simple ways, but living a righteous life often is referred to as just living a right life. Living a life right. Okay? Well, I'm going to expand on that today. Because I believe it's more than just living a right life. Because it is more than living a right life. And if you've heard me say living a righteous life is just living right, I'm wrong. Forgive me. All right? Okay? If you don't live a right life following the teachings of Jesus Christ, you're living a right life will be shoved to the curb on Judgment Day. You got it? Living right can be and often is done so that you can look good. Boy, I've done everything right. I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Are you all good people? Raise your hand if you're a good person. All right. We could be here all day until some of you raise your hand. But anyway. All right. Living a right life, if you are the goal for living a right life, you're wasting your time. A righteous life, a life lived right for Jesus Christ, is the only life that will matter. I have in my office a little plaque that I believe was Cynthia's mother's. Cynthia, can you say it for us? The little plaque, the little saying, living a What did your mother have to say? Well, anyway, it's in my office. Yeah, when living a life that's only what you do for Christ is what will last. That's the essence of it. That's living a righteous life. Living a life that's good, and you're the receiver of the good, I'm telling you, you're wasting all your good stuff. You're wasting all your good stuff. Live it for Jesus Christ. Living it done for Jesus Christ's sake. That's what he says. That's what Jesus says. Well, the mercy, purity, the peacemaking of a disciple of Christ, where do we learn that from? Who do we go to find out what all that means? We don't go to the government. Give me a book. How am I going to live a righteous life? Don't do that. We go to the Bible. We're going to go to the one that tells us that it's important for us to live a righteous life. The government isn't going to tell you what to do. Well, they're going to try, but they're not going to be judging you on your final day. All right? You got it? John chapter 15, verse 5. For Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. Nothing. What are you trying to do? You can be nice to somebody. You can be good to somebody. You can do somebody a favor. You can encourage somebody. But Jesus is speaking about living a righteous life, and he says, without me, you can do nothing. Disciples of Christ are not only attracted to Jesus, we are attached to Jesus in every aspect of living life. And when we do that, when we are that, we as disciples of Christ, we will look, we will sound, and we will act differently than the world. We will act, we will sound, we will do, we will look differently than the norm. Well, why would people, now listen to this, because this is a good question. Why would people, we Christians, who are striving to live a righteous life, who are merciful, who are pure, who are peace-loving followers of Jesus Christ, why would we be persecuted? It's a good question, isn't it? Why would you be persecuted if you are a merciful, pure, living, peace-loving follower of Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus said it very plainly in Luke's Gospel, the 16th chapter. Jesus is teaching, again, his disciples, the crowd, anybody that would listen to him. And Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. Oh, you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and you will despise the other. You can't ride the fence. You can't sit in the middle. You're either over here or you're over there. One or the other. And in his speaking, in his teaching, he's speaking specifically in this passage to Pharisees. Jesus, knowing our hearts, knowing their hearts, knew that they loved money. Money was a great motivator for the Pharisees to do all that they did. And Jesus said, it's your love of money. And Jesus, knowing that the Pharisees loved money, and he called them out on it. He said, your love of money is wrong. You got to love God. Don't love money. Money is your idol. Money is your idol. And so Jesus Christ, God's Son, knowing that, called them on it. And what did they do? How did they react to that? How did they react to that? They laughed at him. The word in Scripture is they sneered at him. It's not a word we use today. But they laughed at him. They mocked him. They said, "Up." And then it says that they, from that moment on, they began to formulate how to kill him, how to kill Jesus. Love of money is an idol. Love of money is an idol. And Jesus, being pure in his love for his heavenly Father in heaven, called the Pharisees on this sin. And if he's going to call the Pharisees on that sin, isn't he going to call you on that sin? Isn't he going to call me on that sin? I hope he does. I know that he does. I want him to. Well, when sin is pointed out to us, all too often our reaction is rationalization, justification for the sin action, for why we're being confronted on that. And when that happens between the two of us, on a particular subject, a particular issue, and it can be as simple as a Viking fan and a Packer fan. Boom. Okay? That's going to happen. All right? But that's a simple thing in life, but when it comes to for religious talk, conversation, life-living things, living a righteous, God-satisfying life, and you have a conversation with somebody who is on the other side, remember there are only two sides, you create a conflict which leads to persecution. So you say, well, I'm going to give you nine reasons. I'm going to give you nine things that will happen to show a persecution. Number one, and some of these I'm going to say to you may hit home. They may hit pretty close to home. They may hit you right between the eyes. But you know what? It's Jesus speaking to you. It's not me speaking to you this morning. But these are nine easy ways to be persecuted. You want to leave this place today and be persecuted? Anybody? You know, I could say that we should leave this place and leave the door open for being persecuted. But again, I think we are also avoiding conflict to the degree that we don't even speak. I'm getting to one of the points. We will not speak the name of Christ in a conversation. Why? Because we know that that's a point of conflict. That's a point of persecution. We don't do it. Well, anyway, number one, let's get back on the list. Number one, if you are vocal about living a life of chastity, my wife, working with young women at Loving Arms Daycare, speak to living a life of chastity. And for those of you that don't know that word, it means no sex outside the realm of marriage. All right? Bring up that conversation. Bring up that conversation. And you will be attacked. You'll be laughed at. You'll be called names that you don't want to be called because you believe the truth of Scripture versus over the opinion of the world. You want to be persecuted, just have a simple conversation with somebody about sex outside the realm of God's blessings. For we believe the culture of the world is that sex is good. Anytime, any place, anywhere, anyone, just get it when you can get it. Let's move on with it. That's number one. You want to be persecuted today? Go for it. Number two. Those of us who embrace and speak against the consumption of alcohol, we will be a target for those who love it. The Nazarene Church, if you don't know it, I'm going to explain it to you. We are a people that believe that if you are striving for God's best, and I'm going to say best, you will not consume alcohol. For when you consume alcohol, then and I can't take you to Scripture that says specifically, Jesus says, no, don't have a Bud Light. I can't do that. Okay? So, we get in the realm of good, better, best. You want to consume alcohol? That's fine. Did I say that? Anyway, you're compromising life. I had a conversation yesterday with a man in the parking lot. I'm working on the church sign, and a man pulls up, somebody that you know, somebody that I know, had a conversation, and part of the conversation was his life, his love for alcohol, and how he has been able to avoid police. And I thought, man, what a way to live your life. What a way to live your life. Have one, have two, have seven. And then I hope you're driving your old beat-up pickup, because if you get stopped, you're going to lose it. And it's going to cost you a lot of money. Disciples of Jesus Christ will not be satisfied with just good, because there really isn't any good. We won't even be satisfied with the better. We're going to go for the best. What is God's best? And if I don't want to get a DUI, and I don't want to come home and beat up my wife, I don't want to come home and kick my dog, and I'm going to blame it on drinking, if I'm going to stay away from that, the best insurance I can have is to not get involved in it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Anyway, took enough time on that one. But that's who we are. That's this church. This is this congregation. And as I move around the community and I talk with people, it is a subject, well, being in the business world for as long as I was, and Don, you know it too, and Roger, anybody here, any of you that are in business, you know this. You cannot have a civil function without alcohol. And that's a contradiction of terms, because often it becomes not a non-civil event. I worked with a guy. We would take business trips. He took two suitcases. One was full of Miller Lite, and the other was clothes. He didn't want to pay the price for beer wherever he was going, so he took his own. Oh my. Anyway. Disciples of Jesus Christ, we do not stop at good or better. We hunger and thirst for righteousness. And righteousness is being 100% available to God anywhere and anytime that He calls on us to do what He wants for us to do. You want to start a conflict? You want to be persecuted? Stand up as being somebody who does not consume alcohol. And we are living in a world where the Mothers Against Drunk Driving and the other things are coming alongside the teachings of Jesus Christ, saying, hey, people, don't do this. It's not good for you. It's not good for anybody. Isn't it amazing how the world-given time sometimes will come along the truth of Scripture? Well, anyway, number three. If you pursue self-control in eating, well, anybody here have self-control in eating? Huh? Keith, good for you. Well, Keith Alexander, we'll get that right. Okay? But I will say to you, you want to have a conversation this afternoon, talk to somebody about your love for meat. And if they happen to be vegetarian, guess what? You've created a conflict. And they may have a conversation about you when you leave. But just have a conversation with somebody about elements of living life. Number four, if you live a simple, happy life, you will show the folly of luxury. I mean, I've taken youth groups to Mexico, and I've been in poverty, 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 poverty. Houses with dirt floors, no electricity, nothing. Kids running around with just a shirt on. That's it. Poverty. But yet those people can be so happy, so happy, so happy. It is amazing. We live in a world with everything and anything. Anything and everything. Just save enough money. Do it, whatever. You can accumulate. You can get whatever you want. But have a conversation with somebody like that, and their life isn't going to be any happier than your life. And often it's in more misery because they've wasted time, money, energy, and money on something that doesn't satisfy. You want to be persecuted? Well, then tell somebody, practice living a simple, happy life, and you will show the folly of living a life of luxury. And that doesn't have to be living and driving a Rolls Royce, okay? It can just, whatever. Make sure that what you have, you see as a blessing from God, and it satisfies you. And it won't be the stuff, it'll be the Spirit of God in you that brings you joy. Number five, when you walk and talk in a humble manner, you will expose the evil of pride. Being humble, being that meek person that Jesus is speaking about, you will expose the evil of being a proud person. If you're honest and a good worker, you will be exposed to persecution from those who want to cheat or just to slow down. Okay? I've been there. You've probably been with it in working places like that too. A new hire comes along, and they're all on fire, and they do everything right, and poof, they get everything done. And before you know it, they're on the outs with everybody else. Why? Because they're such a good worker. They want everybody wants that person to slow down a little bit. You're making us look bad. Whew. You want to be persecuted as a Christian? As a Christian, we do everything for the glory of God. Not for the glory of a paycheck. We do everything for the glory of God, which means we're going to do it the best all the time. No cheating, no slowing down, and you will be persecuted. Number 7, when you speak in love and compassion, the haters will hate because they can't understand you. They just don't understand you. Speak in love and compassion, and you will be persecuted for speaking that way. And that's commanded to us by Jesus Christ. Again, these are things taken right out of Scripture, not personal opinion. Take a people group, any people group, and we've got some here in town, speak compassion or love to them, and then step back, because somebody is going to be, well, you'll have a target on you. You know, it's happening right now in the city, in a city council seat that's up for election. One of the people there is concerned about their speaking love and compassion to the Somalis because that puts them on the outs. We as Christians need to speak love and compassion to all people groups. Are we going to embrace what they teach and what they practice? Absolutely not, because we are Christians. But God does not give us an excuse on loving and having care and compassion for each other. Number 8, when you are earnest about a matter, you will get the attention of those who are just surface dwellers. There's a man who's visited this church. He's a friend. And I have several conversations every week about him. And he has a mantra. He is on a... God has put something in him. He is urgent about a matter. He is passionate about this matter. It's about witnessing, showing, and talking about God's love. And having conversation with him, it is amazing how he shares the hurt and disappointment he has in his spirit. Because even in churches, even in God organizations, he gets pushback. He gets pushback. He feels persecuted on the outs because of his desire to be obedient to a command of Scripture. So, when you are earnest about a matter, you will get the attention of those who are just living on the surface of life. And finally, when you speak with the mind of Christ, you will expose the worldly mindset of those around you. Pick any truth of Scripture. Pick any truth of Scripture and voice it out in the sinful world, and you're going to create conflict. Why? Because the world doesn't like Christ. Well, they like their way of living. They're on that side of the fence, and you're living a life over here, a righteous life directed by Jesus Christ. And the teachings of Christ conflict with sin. Why? Because Jesus calls out sin, because he wants us to acknowledge that and repent. Well, the list of reasons and ways that you can be persecuted, the conversations you can have with people, it's infinite. It is absolutely infinite. And I will say again, take any truth of Scripture, speak it in the marketplace, speak it at your friends group, and just watch. Listen to the conversation. You're inviting persecution. Persecution will come when you stand on the truth of Jesus' teachings. And again, I'll say, no matter what the subject is, stand on the truth of Jesus. And you are inviting persecution from your friends, from your families, your coworkers, anybody out there. Well, John chapter 3, verse 20, speaks of the two ways that we live our lives, and I've mentioned that a little bit earlier. You either hate the light, you hate God's word, and you're comfortable living over here in sin, so you think. Or you will come to the truth, you will come to the light, which is Jesus and his teachings. And we will do that because we want to live a life righteous, pleasing to God, our Heavenly Father. Well, you and I, we must examine ourselves. I ask myself, am I living the life of a stealth Christian? Stealth, that's like airplanes, the Air Force. You know, they make airplanes that radars can't pick up. They can fly through and they're there, but they're really not there. There isn't anything that will show that they're there. Are we doing that? I ask you to examine yourself. Are we doing that as Christians? Oh yeah, I'm a Jesus person. I'm a Jesus follower. But oh man, I'm not gonna go down that list of nine things. I'm not gonna create any stirs, any conflict, because I just want to get through. Just get me through the day. Get me through the day. Well, I will say that a disciple of Jesus Christ knows that there is blessings when we are persecuted. We know that, the kingdom of heaven will be ours. We are to rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets, who were before us. Well, Jesus Christ is our great example when it comes to being persecuted. Jesus was persecuted for speaking the truth. And if you and I, we speak the truth in love to those that we encounter in the world, we have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. Jesus Christ, God's Son, endured the punishment of death. Why? Because he saw heaven was in front of him. He knew what was out there. He knew what was out there. And we believe that he had been there before he came to earth. So he knew what was out there waiting for him to go back to. So he endured this earth journey to get back to heaven. He knew what was out there in front of him. And Jesus is telling us, hey, blessed are you, those of you who dare to become persecuted because you want to live a righteous life. Persecution here on earth hurts. And yes, it can and it will bring tears. It'll bring troubles. But oh, remember the promise of heaven. Remember the promise of heaven. And my prayer for you, and you pray for me, that hope, that promise of heaven, will outshine any persecution that I have today or tomorrow. Jesus reminds us that the prophets were persecuted. Oh, and they were rewarded too. Okay? They were persecuted, but they were also rewarded. And the martyrs of today are reminding us that heaven is ahead of us as well. Last week, I ran into Phil Saint, whose father was one of the missionaries killed in South America. And almost every conversation, and Phil likes to talk, but in almost every conversation, in fact, I brought it up this time, something about that, a quote that was given to one of those people. And then he talked about that persecution for life's sake is real in his family. It's going to happen to us. It's going to happen to us who are disciples of Jesus Christ. Persecution is going to happen to us who are desire, who demonstrate, who are poor in spirit. It's going to happen to us when we are mournful for our sins. Just try to explain to somebody what it's like to be sorrowful for your sin. When you are meek, persecution will run over you. Demonstrate a spirit of hunger and thirsting for righteousness for God's sake, for my sake, I get it. Hunger and thirst. When was the last time you told somebody that you couldn't be someplace, somewhere, sometime because you were going to go to church? When was the last time? Okay? Doesn't happen anymore. Because we don't hunger and thirst for righteousness enough. What do you want to do? Oh yeah, let me go do that. If I hungered and thirst for righteousness, priorities might change. And then when I dare to express that priority, I'm going to be persecuted. I told somebody the story this last week. For probably 10 or 12 years, Whirlpool Corporation would invite three or four people from the company where I worked to go to a Notre Dame football game. And it was a very nice trip. And everybody wanted to go. And every year I had to say no. Because that was always the last weekend in October, and we always had a youth retreat. And every year I would say, can't you guys change the date? And they would say, no, this is what we do. And so for every year, I got to use a youth retreat as an excuse not to do something else. But anyway, hunger and thirst for righteousness, pure in heart. You want to demonstrate being pure in heart? There's going to be somebody come and attack you for that. Peacemaker. Not a peacekeeper, a peacemaker. You're out there making peace. You're confronting somebody on a sinful lifestyle. You want good for them. You want peace in their life. I'm going to make peace. I want you to make peace with God, so I'm going to take you to God. Get ready. Persecution. Endure persecution. For great joy is set before us. Anybody looking forward to heaven? Anybody looking forward to heaven? Well, it's out there for us. And only persecution for righteousness' sake is good persecution. And I'll just say that any other persecution you encounter is on you. Don't get into a fight with somebody who is a Packer fan. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Jesus is saying persecution for righteousness' sake receives the blessing of heaven. You can be persecuted, you can be laughed at, you can be bullied for many reasons. But persecution for righteousness, the promise of that is on God. God is the promise keeper for that. You're not. It's okay to be persecuted for righteousness. For the blessing that you receive, the reward that you will receive, isn't on you. The reward is on God, our Heavenly Father. How bold do you feel? You ready to go out and be persecuted for righteousness' sake? I must say to you that you don't have to go out and pick a fight. Don't go out and pick a fight. But I would say to you that if you're bold and stand up for the truth of Scripture, you're going to get in one. A conversation comes up and somebody goes the world way and you try to bring it back to God's best, God's way, there's going to be a conflict there. Jesus recognized that. And He's honest with us. And He says, hey, blessed are you when you're persecuted for living a righteous life. Wow. Go out and be bold today. Don't back down when the conversation goes the wrong way. Speak to the truth of Scripture. Will you get in a fight for it? Don't get in a fight. But you're going to receive persecution. But guess what? God is on your side. God is on your side. God is on your side. And He is the one that will give you the reward. And the reward is in heaven. You may never see it here, but it's going to be in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, it's a great test of our faith. So often we are tempted, we're tested, we're tried, and we try to take the easy way out to avoid conflict, to avoid a troubling conversation. But Jesus Christ, your Son, said that there is a blessing for us when we speak the truth, and persecution comes to us because we speak the truth. Let us leave this place today and speak the truth. Yes, in love. Yes, in care. Yes, with compassion. Yes, with encouragement. But let us do it as the Spirit of Christ leads us to have that conversation today. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Spirit that empowers us to live life your way, to live a righteous life for your sake. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go and be a blessing.